What do you know about Syria? It's in the news quite a bit with all the things taking place over there, but with a different look at Syria, because as many countries are, they go through changes over time, and what somebody remembers from one place changes because of different reasons. We have with us on the line with Claudette Sutton, who has a new memoir called Farewell Aleppo, which is a city in Syria, My Father, My People, and Their Long Journey Home. Good morning, Claudette. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you.
Is it really true, as stated in the book, that one day your dad said to you, people have been asking me about my life, so can you help me get my story down on paper? Did it actually happen just like that?
That's exactly the way it happened, and I can remember where we were walking, and he said, it just seemed like such a sweet, simple request, like it would just be a little project. And then it became years of research and writing that ultimately became this book.
Why did he want that in writing?
Well, he wanted to be able to tell his friends what his background was. He's a fairly soft-spoken person, and he had a fascinating background. He grew up in the Orthodox Jewish, ancient Orthodox Jewish community of Aleppo, Syria, a community that doesn't exist anymore. And he lived in Syria until he was a late teen, and then he lived in Shanghai all during World War II before coming to America. So he wanted just a way to share that story with his friends. And when I started talking with him, I realized how really fascinating it was to me and how much more history there was there than I was aware of, and really than he was aware of, because like many of us, I think he knew the life around him, but wasn't as aware as I became later from doing research of how long and how rich the Jewish history of Syria is. So one thing led to another and more questions, and ultimately it became this book.
You mentioned Aleppo is no longer in existence. Is it under a different name, or is it simply gone?
No, I should explain that differently. Aleppo exists, and unfortunately it's a city that we see in the news a lot now with the fighting that's going on, in this war going on in Syria. But the Jewish community of Aleppo, that at the time of my dad's childhood was at least 20,000 Jews, in a good sized city that had a Muslim majority, but a substantial Jewish community. That community has left Syria and has now relocated and grown, actually, in other cities around the world. But Syria now, and even before this war had broke out, no longer had a Jewish community, which is just tragic when I think about, because it was a community that went back to the Roman times. There was a Jewish community and actually a major center of Jewish scholarship in Syria for centuries. And unfortunately, that community in Syria no longer exists. But if you go to certain cities around the United States and around the world, New York, Los Angeles, many cities in South America and Europe, there is a large Syrian Jewish community that's actually very vibrant and strong. It's just kind of curious because they identify themselves so strongly as Syrian Jews, but in Syria itself, there is no longer a Jewish community.
How do Syrian Jews differ from, maybe Eastern European or other Jewish communities? What's unique about their culture that you could tell us?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, when I was growing up, some of my friends would use Arabic expressions, or their parents, would use Yiddish expressions. In my household, the second language was Arabic. So the slang or the other words that were used were in Arabic. The foods are very different. The traditional Jewish foods that we think of in America as normal Jewish foods, matzo ball soup and gefilte fish and noodle kugel and brisket and whatever the stereotypical Jewish foods are, we didn't have those in our household. I never ate those foods until I was a teen or maybe in my 20s. We had fried kibbeh and stuffed grape leaves and tabbouleh and baba ghanoush, the Middle Eastern foods that are now more common, but when I was growing up were really things we only had in our household. And the ways of practicing the religion are somewhat different. The prayers are said differently. It's in ways a much more insular and less assimilated community than the Jews that came to America from Eastern Europe and Russia.
We're talking today with Claudette Sutton, who has written the book Farewell Aleppo, My Father, My People, and Their Long Journey Home. What do you mean by long journey home? How does that title work into the story?
Well, it refers to finding a home in America, because when my father was growing up, Syria had very much of a tri-cultural or tri-religious place. There was a large Muslim community, but my dad, believe it or not, it's so hard to believe when we see the news nowadays, but when he was growing up, he went to school with Muslims and Christians and Jews in the same school, in the same classroom. So it was a kind of respectful coexistence, a respectful tolerance with one another that's so different from what's going on there now. It's just hard to believe it's the same place. When he was growing up, his father was realizing that as a place for Jews, it was becoming less safe. Anti-Semitism was on the increase. So they had to find a way to get the family out. And that's, as I mentioned earlier, my father lived in Shanghai. That's how he ended up in Shanghai. It was a way to get out of Syria and then use it as a stepping stone to come to the United States. It took a little longer to get here than he thought, because he ended up being there just before the war broke out in the Far East, just before the Japanese occupied Shanghai after bombing Pearl Harbor during World War II. So my dad came to America, and the rest of the family ended up coming here, and America became for them the home that they had lost in Syria when the Jewish community there was no longer safe there.
When people are talking to their own family and relatives, older relatives, and maybe they're sharing stories, there's a whole different perception of who they are when you're a child to when they're adult, when you find out more about them. What interesting things did you discover? And did your father have a lot of, like, photographs and things that he had kind of just kept away until it was time to share them with you?
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, yeah, I learned a lot about my dad, and I didn't realize how much I didn't know about my dad until I sat down and talked with him. And I guess I think that's the case for a lot of us. We all have stories. We all come from somewhere else, and, you know, within a generation or two, let's say, and those stories are often put away because people are busy getting on with daily life. And then to sit down with my dad and hear how much he had experienced and how really courageous it was, that the things that he felt he was doing just because you needed to do what needed to be done, I suppose that made me realize we all have more strength than we realize or than we give ourselves credit to because we're just sort of going through life and doing what needed to be done. To me, to realize that my dad had to pick up and relocate to another city when he was 19 years old and had come from this very, very close-knit, insular Jewish community where he had never eaten non-kosher food, he had almost never been away from home, and then he finds at 19 years old across the world from his family in Shanghai, and a few months after he arrived there, Shanghai was at war, and he was in an occupied city during World War II with no communication even with his family. That sort of thing makes me say, wow, there's so much more that goes into shaping us than we realize. And that's one of the things that's exciting to me about this book, you know, about having published my family story. I'm realizing from people that my father's experiences that I recount in Farewell Aleppo are unique, but in his unique story, people see so many things about their own family and their own stories. And people are telling me they're using this book as a touchstone, as a jumping off point for writing about their own families. And that fascinates me because, to me, I think, you know, every family has amazing stories that tell us so much about who we are. And until we dig into those stories, we don't really know how complicated our families and even we are when we get right down to it.
Sometimes we look and wonder, wow, it's amazing I'm even here based on everything that happened along the way and all the coincidence or unique events or, you know, just the the trials that people went through.
Happened that might not have happened that way. You know, sometimes, of course, the tragedies that happen that shape the way our family goes. But, you know, in the long run, the family stories are shaped by the survivors, and that's what influences us as we go along.
Claudette, beyond the book of Farewell Aleppo, My Father, My People, and Their Long Journey Home, you also founded a newspaper called Tumbleweeds. Why did you do that?
Well, I did that 20 years ago when my son was a little boy. He's now 26. And I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I felt like, okay, parenting is a challenge, but maybe it doesn't have to be as big of a challenge. Maybe there's a way that we can share stories with one another and share information with one another about what's going on and what we can do. And it's interesting because at the time that I started Tumbleweeds, I didn't see any connection to the book that I would write a long time later, but it just, for me, speaks to the fact that families have always fascinated me and have always been my sense of where our richness and our strengths are. So when my son was little, it took off in the direction of supporting families with young children, which I'm still doing. I'm still publishing Tumbleweeds, and it's still a quarterly publication in Santa Fe, New Mexico. But now my interest has expanded also to our elders and their stories and how they determine our lives.
One of the interesting things I'm getting out of your book or finding it just has to do with how people name their children and the reasons behind a lot of that. Because many times you'll hear families and there's like 10 different Joes or Michaels or people like that. And it kind of explains a little bit about the tradition of naming the children.
Yeah. Now I live in Santa Fe, as I mentioned, and there's a large Hispanic community here where people name their children after other family members, and they'll change the spelling a little bit or something so that they can distinguish them from one another. In my family, the tradition is that the first boy in the family has the name of the paternal grandfather, and the first girl has the name of the paternal grandmother, and then the second and third boy and girl are named after the maternal grandparents. So in a large family, you could have a lot of cousins with the same first name, not even variations or, you know, and so they have to distinguish one another by maybe tacking on the father's first name. Right. So, for instance, I had a lot of cousins named Sammy because my grandfather's name was Samuel, and so they would be Sammy Joe and Sammy Ralph, and, you know, because it's a way of honoring the family line and recognizing the individual in the context of this tradition of the elders that came before them.
It's a
different outlook, I think, very much so, even really, to be honest, from the one that I grew up with, because even though I'm part of this community, my siblings and I were raised a little bit removed from it in the Washington, D.C. area. The rest of the family is up in Brooklyn. And we didn't quite follow a lot of these traditions, so in some ways I grew up with a more mainstream American sense of identity and individuality. And so to realize that in this tradition, individuality is really second to what your place is within the community and within your family. That's a different outlook. It's one I admire and I feel affinity to, but I'm a little removed from as well.
Why do you think your father then was so, willing to Americanize, if to use that phrase, or to sort of change it or to become his own individual, I guess?
Yeah, I think there were different circumstances that led to that, and partly because he had lived away from his family for so long when he was stranded in China during World War II. I think some of that clannish connection was broken a bit. So when he married my mother and then for financial reasons, business reasons, they had an opportunity to move to Washington, D.C., I think perhaps it fit their lives better at that point. They were both from the Syrian community, but I think they both had perhaps a more independent nature that fit with being on their own a bit more.
Did this story turn out the way your father had hoped? I mean, it kind of took its own life of its own, but what do you think about that?
very pleased with it. He's very happy with it. I think it became more, it went into more depth than he realized, and my sense is that maybe he had to grow into becoming comfortable with that. I think he thought it might be a smaller story that wouldn't get out there in the world as much, and now I think he's getting very excited by that. We've done some things together with the family, sharing it, you know, in readings and whatnot, and we're going to be doing some readings and radio gigs together, and I think he's getting very, very excited about that. As I said, he's a soft-spoken person, so I don't think it was ever in his nature to blow his horn about what he had done or share this story, but now that it's getting out there, I think he feels very, very gratified by it.
Well, he has the journalist daughter who was the mouthpiece, I guess it would be, to put all that together and let the world know about this story. It's called
Let Him Know He's a Wonderful Man. Yes.
Farewell, Aleppo, My Father, My People, and Their Long Journey Home. Our guest today, Claudette Sutton. If people want to get the book, I guess Terra Nova Books is the folks that are publishing it, but it's out there most everywhere, I guess.
Yes, it's available online in all the major outlets online. It's available in bookstores. And if you'd like to order it directly from the publisher, you can go to farewellaleppo.com.
Sounds good. Claudette, thanks for sharing the story with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Claudette Sutton this morning. Again, Farewell, Aleppo, My Father, My People, and Their Long Journey Home.